Genesis chapter number five. 2 weeks ago, you remember we began a new series called on Enoch. The lesson was about Enoch. We only got through about half of it, and we're looking at different characters in the Bible, and the title, I believe, is Portraits of Grace. Just a little snapshot, if you will, of 10 Bible characters, and I don't know that it's going to take more than 10 weeks because we're already on week 2. I do have, again, speaking of books, I do have one student book remaining. I think it's back there on the counter. If you want to get up and go back there, and the ushers can help you with it. There's one book left. Again, I just wanted you to be aware of that. So we began to talk about Enoch a couple of weeks ago. I just want to review quickly. If you have the book, maybe you were here 2 weeks ago, maybe you were not here 2 weeks ago, but just so that we can get up to speed. The first thing we looked at when we talked about the life of Enoch was, number one, Enoch's relationship. Does anybody remember 2 weeks ago what we said the name Enoch means? Does anybody remember what you had for lunch 2 days ago? It means what? Okay, all right. That was part of what we were talking about, right? His walk with God. Enoch's name means dedicated. Dedicated. And he was dedicated to his walk with God. And it didn't happen by accident. You know, when you're successful at something, it just doesn't happen. There's work, there's labor. I know a lot of people look at, you know, certain people and say, well, they were just blessed with that talent or that ability or that gift or whatever. Maybe it could be somebody that plays the piano or somebody that is involved in athletic competition or whatever, and they really excel at it. And sometimes people will just say, well, you know, they were just born with that piano gene, whatever that is. And yes, I know that some people may be blessed with a talent in that way, but I would say for the majority of those people that are successful, they are dedicated to practice every day. Hour upon hour upon hour. Now, we're not talking about something of that nature. We're talking about a man's life and dedicated. And then we said letter A about his relationship. It was an abiding relationship. And his relationship with God definitely was something that was predominant in his life. In the New Testament, we read about that we want to make Christ preeminent. Did I forget to turn this on, Brother Joey? Okay. We want to make Christ preeminent, prominent, same type concept. What we're saying is that he has first place, and everything else is under that relationship that we have with the Lord. And we talked about the verse in John 15, abide in me and I in you. John 15, verse number 4. And there's no way that I can bear fruit unless I'm abiding in the vine. And that, you know what? That is the Christian life, part of the Christian life. Jesus Christ saved me to bear fruit, to bring honor to his name. And it doesn't happen unless I have an abiding relationship. And God wants that. And that was letter A, an abiding relationship. And I've got to keep moving. Then it was a constant relationship. Letter B, a constant relationship. Notice in verses 22 through 24 of our text. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Notice we mentioned this, and we kind of talked about this morning at our men's meeting and young men's meeting about when he began walking with God in a more serious manner. The Bible here seems to point at he began walking with God in a more serious manner when he became a father. See that in verse number 22? After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And so it was constant, ongoing. So much so that Enoch is one of two people that just one day got up and didn't go to sleep that night, didn't die that night, but he was no longer on the face of the earth. And he just, God took him. And that's what the Bible tells us there about Enoch. And then number two, we got about partway through number two last time, was Enoch's relinquishment. Enoch's relinquishment. What we were talking about here, let's go, hold your place in Genesis chapter 5, and let's go all the way back to the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Now this lesson, I'll tell you, is going to go, it's going to mirror in a little bit with the message in the next hour. And that's just the way God laid it out. And we just take that as God's really wanting us to know about a certain thing. But the whole emphasis, when we look at Enoch's life, is this walk that he had. This walk that he had with God. And in this second point, to relinquish something means to get rid of it. It means to let go of it. You know, if you've got something that you need to relinquish, it means you don't want it in your life anymore. And you know what? There would be things in my life that I need to relinquish, that I need to let go of. And Hebrews talks about it in chapter 12, verse 1. See what it says here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Here is the relinquish statement in verse 1. Let us lay aside, to relinquish, to put something down. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, these things that need to be relinquished, these things that Paul talks about there, that they need to be laid aside, here's what they are. They are things in my life, things in our lives that are hindering us. What is hindering, and specifically, what is the theme of the whole lesson? Our walk with God. So what is it in your life? What is it in my life? We need to get a hold of that this afternoon once again and see what is there that's hindering my walk with God. What is there that's hindering my prayer time? What is there that's hindering my Bible reading time? What is there that's hindering my testimony in the job where I work or the store where I shop? The Bible here speaks of weights and sins. It's in the context of what? What's the context of these verses? It's a practical thing that we can think about in 2020. What's happening in these two verses? Paul is saying, he's talking about something that we could all do maybe a lot better when we were younger. Run, thank you. He's talking about running. You know, Paul talks about athletics. He talks about boxing. So fight I as one that beateth the air. Just air shadow boxing, right? Talks about running. Talks about getting the prize. If you know anything about running, you know this, that if I'm going to be in a sprint today, I'm not dressed properly. Is there anything wrong with wearing a suit? No. But this would be a weight if I was going to go over to that track over there and be involved in a marathon. This would be a weight. You know what? These are great for church. These shoes right here. But you know what? If I was to try to run a marathon in these shoes or run a race in these shoes, they would be a hindrance. I mean, they would really get in the way. Now, I have had to run in these shoes before, but not in a race. No, they're not. Sorry, Brother Henry. These are my cheap shoes. These aren't my Echo shoes. Anyway, a race, although I've had these shoes for about 15 years. Thanks to Brother Gutierrez putting new soles on them and keeping them going for me. I love these shoes. But anyway, not for running a race, not for playing basketball. They have a purpose. You know, there's a lot of things in life, if we're not careful, that has a purpose, but if it's not careful, it becomes a weight. in our walk with God. Then it goes so far as to say some things are just flat out against God's word, and they're not just a weight, they're a sin. And we need to remove those things, and those are definitely going to have an impact on our walk with God. What is there today that you need to relinquish? So I think we might have gone a little bit further, and we asked this question: what does complete relinquishment look like? Letter A, I don't remember if we gave this or not, we may have. Letter A, we said to trust God's timing. Did you already have that one filled in? Okay. To trust God's timing. I've learned this, and I'm still learning it, though. God does not work around my schedule or with my schedule. God has a perfect schedule for our lives. And that's one way that we need to relinquish, one thing that we need to relinquish, because if you're like me, sometimes we get impatient about something. And God says, wait, hang on, don't get ahead of me, but walk with me, walk with me. Stay right here beside me. So one thing we might need to do is trust God's timing. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I think about the timing of different things in Anchor Baptist Church over the last almost 19 years. So many times, I don't have the amount of time to even talk about them, but so many times we could see things happen as a church right on time. Even coming to this building 3 years ago, next Sunday will be three years complete at this building. Second Sunday of February was the last Sunday we were over there 3 years. And you know what? Here's something interesting. I was on the way to church today. I picked up the three fellas in all my church. And who do I get a call from? I get a call from the rec center today. Hello, this is so-and-so over at Cameron Recreation Center. I got somebody standing here that used to go to your church when you met over here. They want to know where you're meeting now. Today, that just happened today. 3 years. And I had a little bit of a Holy Ghost fit in the car, you know, that was great. I thought that was encouraging, you know. I said, well, I gave him the address. I said, we'll be there at 4. I don't know if the individual's going to come today or not, but praise the Lord. All I'm saying is timing, timing. You know, I said that to a couple of men this morning at the office about something that we're praying about, and I just said, you know, I've been thinking about this for 6 months. Been praying about it for 6 months, and you know, for me, that's not natural to wait. I don't know what your tendencies are, but my tendencies are to sprint, and then when I get there and I don't know what to do, figure it out. Well, that's not what God wants. God wants us just to walk with him. Just stay right with him, one step at a time. And everywhere he takes me, it's the perfect will of God. I've went ahead of God too many times. It doesn't work too well. My responsibility is to wait. Letter B, what does it look like to relinquish things? Letter B, to pursue God's calling. To pursue God's calling. Go with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We're talking about the man Enoch. His name means what? Dedicated. Dedicated. So that's definitely an attribute that we want to have in our life. Dedication when it comes to our walk with God. So it's talking about the grace that we need to walk with God. Now remember Brother Flanders mentioned this in regards to that book, 0 to 100. Remember that little book, 0/100. Salvation is 100% of grace. Okay? There's nothing that can be added to salvation. And if we try, it's not salvation anymore. So it's all of grace to be saved, but it's also all of grace to live the Christian life. We don't just stop living by grace when we get saved. No, we continue to live by grace. You can think of different ways to describe grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. A little acronym there. But to walk with God, it's not going to be just because I get up in the morning and say, I'm going to walk with God, and somehow just say it over and over and I'm going to do it. No, I need God's grace. Enoch was dedicated. He was a man who wasn't perfect, but we see a man who walked with God. We're going to have to pursue God's calling. Look what it says in verse 18. I remember when we're walking with God, that means wherever He says to go, we have to go. If I'm going over this way and God says, I want you to turn and go this way, and I say, you know what, I think I need to keep going that way, then I'm not pursuing the will of God. And now I'm walking outside of the will of God. Look what happened in this chapter, verse 18 of chapter 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they, notice this next word, straightway, left their nets and followed him. Anybody have an idea or a synonym that you'd like to throw out there for that word straightway? I heard something over here. What was over here? Right away, okay. How about another one? Immediately, where was that? Okay, you're hiding behind Brother Carlos. That's why I didn't hear it the first time. Okay, what'd you say, Brother Henry? Right away, immediately, okay. Anybody else? Now, okay, all right, good. Yeah, all meaning the same thing. Without what? Good, that's a good one too. Did you hear that one? Without hesitation. Instantly, okay. Yeah, in other words, this word all encompasses all of these synonyms to give us our Bible word straightway. Jesus said, follow me. They followed him. It doesn't appear, not that I'm trying to say there was, but the Bible doesn't indicate that there was any back and forth. You know what I mean by that? Well, what are we going to do with the nets? No, they just left them. Well, what are we going to do about these fish that we have in the boat? You know? That's how I've lived my life before at times. When I know God is leading a certain way, and I have the old what-ifs, and what-abouts, and what it... You know, when God's leading, He's going to provide. When God's leading, there are no what-abouts, and what-ifs, and hows. And you have to grow into that. It takes grace to grow into that. And I want to be that way every day. That I would be led by the Lord every day. That even though I have an agenda for the day, when God says, this is where you're supposed to go, and I give one of these numbers, that was not a part of the agenda for the day, but yet I'm willing to just turn and follow God's agenda straightway, immediately, without hesitation, so forth and so on. Let's go back to our text. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, an interesting word, and that is the word, verse 24. So to pursue God's calling, letter B, that's what it looks like, to set some things aside. The Bible says in verse 24, for God took him. For God took him. That word took there has the idea of to take in the hand. To take in the hand. It's as if God just reached down and grabbed a hold of Enoch's hand and they just walked right into heaven together. Wow. Amazing. Who is the other person in the Bible to experience something similar? Elijah. Correct. Elijah. He went in a little different way, but still the same idea as Enoch. You can read about that as well in Hebrews 11:5. You're taking notes. Maybe that verse is in your notes. I do want to just look at this one word. By faith, Enoch was translated. Translated. The word translated means to transpose two things, one of which is put in the place of the other, to transfer or to change. It's just like immediately Enoch went from walking with God to a translation to now he's with God. It's a great picture of the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 53. Would you turn over there quickly? Relinquishment. What does it mean to relinquish some things? It means letter A, to trust God's timing. It means letter B, to pursue God's calling. Thinking about this word translated. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. In a moment. That's like this idea of Enoch here, and was not. Just, he's gone. God took him. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, however fast that is. I think you can read about it online and see how fast the eye twinkles. I don't know, I guess they got a radar gun and they can test how fast. It's pretty fast. In a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be translated. Same idea. From one place to the other. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You can also read about it in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. So, number one, we saw Enoch's relationship. It was a constant relationship. Number two, we saw Enoch's relinquishment, meaning he had to set some things aside. If we're going to walk with God by grace, we definitely have some weights, and we definitely have some sin, more than likely, in our life that needs to be set aside, or else we're not going to be able to run with the race as God has designed us to run it. Within that, we want to, when we relinquish things, it means that we're going to follow God's will. It means we're going to follow God's will. Wherever God tells us to go and do, that's what we're going to do it. Then lastly, we see number three is Enoch's reliance. Enoch's reliance. A synonym for the word reliance is the word that makes up part of our theme, trust. To rely on someone. If you're relying on me to do whatever, then you trust me that I'm going to get it done. Same for me to you. And we as Christians, we are reliant. We rely on God for everything. Think about it. Every time my heart pumps, I'm relying on God. Every time oxygen, I'm breathing God's air. It's not mine, it's God's. I'm completely relying on it. Nothing that I do or say or whatever, I'm completely relying on the Lord to give me the sight, the hearing, the breathing, the heart pumping, the thinking, everything. I'm completely relying on the Lord. By the way, that's the best way to live your life. That's the best way to live our lives, trusting God completely for everything. Warren Wiersbe said this, "True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences." Think about it. When you have complete trust in someone, that relationship is far sweeter and greater and stronger than, let's say, somebody else. And I'm not trying to be negative, but somebody else that you just, I don't know about that. I don't know if I can trust them. And we all have people like that in our life. I hope that nobody says that. I hope nobody would say that about me. I hope I've not blown my trust in somebody, but possibly I have. I'm just saying, when we fully trust someone, now we're not talking about someone, we're talking about the someone, we're talking about God. We're talking about someone who never fails. We're talking about someone who knows on August 31st, when this lease ends for this building, he knows where we're going to be next. He knows it right now. So I have to rely on that. I have to trust him. Maybe it'll be here. Maybe our lease will be extended. I don't know, but God already knows. That's why I go to the one who knows for wisdom, for direction in my life. And I'm saying that for all of us this afternoon. We're kind of going back and forth in our Bibles. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, where we read of Enoch again. Hebrews chapter 11, we were there a few moments ago, talking about Enoch's reliance. He relied on God. Complete trust. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Someone read verse 5 to nice and loud. Just start reading it. What a statement. He pleased God. Wow. There's a lot to that, isn't there? All right, who can read verse 6 as well? Boy, there's a lot in there too, isn't there? Must believe that he is. Must trust that he is. Must trust that he will provide for all those who seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So that means that if Enoch pleased God, then Enoch had faith. I mean, it says that in verse number 5 anyway. By faith, Enoch, he trusted, he relied on God. Now, and again, we're going to talk a little bit more in the next hour about someone who was alive, not right at the same time, but in and around the same time. But no time of life is easy for someone to trust God. You know, we look around us today, I'm just saying, what I mean by that is we might look at the Bible characters and say, well, it was easier to trust God for them than it is for us. I disagree. I think it's just whether or not we are going to trust God or not, regardless of circumstances. And I think that's what Mr. Wiersbe said a moment ago, and I totally agree with his statement. In spite of consequences or circumstances, I'm going to put my complete confidence in God and in his word and know that he will not fail. I will, he won't. I will, he won't. Enoch's reliance. So, what does Enoch's reliance do on God? And what does our reliance do? Letter A, develops a testimony. Develops a testimony. It's right there in verse 5. See it? 11:5. He had this, what's the next word? Testimony. Wow. He had this testimony. What is a testimony? What's that? The life that he lives? Okay. It speaks, right? Maybe not verbally, but hopefully. It definitely speaks in the way we walk. We talked a little bit about that this morning as well. Mm-hmm. It's proof. Very good. Yeah, who's going to give a testimony in a trial? Somebody that's called a what? A witness. If somebody gets up on a trial and says, well, actually, I really didn't see it. I just think it happened that way. You know what? Sorry. That person is not going to be a very good witness. In fact, they're not a witness at all. So today, how can we say we trust God? I think most of us here, I'm just going to go out on a little bit of a branch here for just a moment and say that I think I know most of you well enough to know that everybody in this room has a witness. You have a testimony. I'm not talking about salvation. That's the first one we want to have, and that's the greatest one we want to have. But he didn't save me just to save me and then I'm going to heaven. No. He saved me that I might honor and glorify his name. And every time I begin, my trust for God increases. Like Enoch, he had a testimony. He pleased God. That's what I want. I want to please God. How do we please God? By having trust in God. It all goes together. The word testimony, it means in the Greek word that it's translated from an affirmation or good report. You know, whenever you got your paper in school and it was given to you face up, usually that meant you got a good grade. I don't know, maybe your teachers weren't like mine. But whenever the teacher came and put the paper down like that, and then I had to look at it, I just put it right back down. It normally meant things were not going to be good at my house that night because I was watching the basketball game and not studying. I just testified right there a little bit about some of my teenage years. No, that's exactly what it is there. It's a good report. And we all here today have, when it comes to God, have a great report. He has an A+ in our life. Takes care of us all the time. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we read, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth," will be in this chapter in the next hour, "and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." In other words, I read that verse to you today because it wasn't necessarily the easiest of times to develop a testimony. Hey, no one needs to say, look at the world around us. We know what the world around us is filled with today. All the more reason to be a bright light in the dark world in which we live. Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you." Is that what it says in your Bible? No, it says glorify your Father. We have a great opportunity living in a sin-sick world that they would see Christ in us and say, what is it about you? Why are you living this way? Why are you always happy? Why do you have this joy about you? Yes, we get tired. Yes, we get discouraged. But we need to seek, as we walk with God, those times get smaller and don't last as long. Enoch had a testimony of faithfulness. Enoch also had a testimony of truth. Go with me to the next to the last book of the Bible, the book of Jude. Please. Jude chapter 1. Got it? You found Jude 2, Brother Barry? Verse 2. 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Boy, that word ungodly, God puts it in there, doesn't he? In other words, Enoch's sitting back here and he's looking ahead to Christ and he's prophesying, he's preaching. He's saying, hey, guess what? Somebody's coming to execute judgment upon the ungodly. He's standing for truth. We live in exactly the same time as Enoch, only in a different way. We're saying, yes, somebody is still coming to execute judgment upon the ungodly. We need to stand for truth today. This is not the day to get away from the Bible. This is the day to get closer to the Bible. This is the day to read more of God's Word and live it in our life. Enoch did not forget God was in control. By the way, 2020, God is still in control. He still has the song that the song says, he's still got the whole world in his hands. Everything that's happening around us, God knew about when he created the world. I mean, think about it. It just blows my mind that nothing has ever taken God by surprise. Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. That's not God. That's me. That's us. Why? We're finite. We're not infinite, praise God. We aren't going to be as God, as gods. No. I just look to God and I rely completely 100% I give my trust into Him. And it's not blindly. Yes, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I tell you what, God gave me 66 reasons to follow Him. Every book proves that I should follow God with my life. That's why I say, if you've never read every word of the Bible, start now to begin to read every word of the Bible. If it takes you 5 years, don't worry about it. Read every word of the Bible. So I ask you in closing, well, we got one more. Never mind. Develops a testimony. Letter B, pleases God. We kind of touched on that earlier. What does it look like to rely on God? We please God. We saw that in verses 5 and 6 of Hebrews. So, in closing, how do we exercise the faith that pleases God? Let me just quickly give you these two things. I don't think they're in the notes. Number one, how do we exercise the faith that pleases God? Number one, we please Him by putting our faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot please God until we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's the first step. So, again, I'm not going to assume that everybody in this room right now is saved. I would never do that. I believe I know everybody's testimony, but I want to say with love and compassion that if you're not saved today, you cannot please God. You must first come to God and be saved. Secondly, we please God by trusting Him. We've been talking about this. By trusting Him day by day. Don't get ahead live every day trusting Him. One of the men in the car today, we were pulling in to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's. And one of the men in the car prayed this prayer. It's amazing because it's one of the verses to end our lesson today. He said this, "Dear God, help Pastor Ben to not have the spirit of fear, but to have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know what? That's exactly as a Christian. 2 Timothy 1:7. We can all claim that. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gives us grace to walk with Him. How is your walk with God? Is there possibly you're walking with God, you're wearing, in the sense of trying to run a race, wearing a suit when you shouldn't be wearing a suit to run a race? Is there a weight in your life that needs to be removed? Or is there just something in your life, in my life, it's not a weight, it's not something that's maybe taking up too much of our time. It's something that I'm going against the Word of God, and that's going to definitely affect my walk with God. I would encourage us to confess that sin, forsake that sin, 1 John 1:9. The walk that God wants to have with us, He wants it to be a beautiful, productive, growing walk. And remember, when God says, "Follow me," we say,